represent to them. Amen. All we represent to them, man, is somebody who needs a haircut. What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about, all right. But talking about it and being it, that's two different things.
On this week's episode of the Unrestricted Podcast, Chris and Miguel discuss Texas barbecue and why people insist on wearing sunglasses to a funeral. So hang out and enjoy. You ready?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
Let's get this thing started. All right. Welcome back to the Unrestricted Podcast, episode six.
This is six. Holy shit.
Yeah. Pretty awesome, right? We're almost to 10. It's like a milestone to get to 10.
We're going to have something special for 10 and 13, I believe. That's my belief.
10 and 30. You want to do something special for 13? All right, yeah, we can do that. That's not hard at all. So, as normal, I'm here, Chris, with Miguel, and we're going to do a little chatting, and then we'll get to some songs. So, you know, I got something kind of fun that I did this weekend. Sometimes we get on this thing and I think we end up getting a little bit negative with some stuff. You know, we talk about the ways of the world and some of the craziness that's going on, and not a lot of it's really positive. So I wanted to bring something a little fun to this episode, to this conversation. So this weekend, in fact, today we record this on Sunday, so yesterday is Saturday. There's a brewery that recently opened up within like the last year, really close to my house, and the brewery is called Southern Star Brewery. It's a local
microbrew.
Houston area like microbrew. Well, they're a little bigger than a microbrew. In Texas, they're fairly big. they do like craft beers in a can. Which is, it's odd for kind of the rest of the country and craft beers, but that's kind of a thing in Texas, is to do craft beers in a can. There's a couple breweries here that do it, and they're one of them, and they've got a few beers they're well known for and a few specialty beers they do throughout the year. But they just got this new facility over here, and it's on a bunch of property, so they do like a bunch of outdoor events, and they've got a tasting room and stuff that's really nice. You can go hang out in a couple nights a week and, you know, drink their beers, and they've got like some board games and stuff out there. You can go grab,
they serve food,
and play with your friends. They don't serve food, but they pretty often have food trucks.
Oh, okay.
So, in fact, this event was their first annual barbecue cook-off. You know, Texas style barbecue cook-off, and it was pretty cool. I've never been to one before. You know, I'm into smoking and barbecuing and doing all that fun stuff.
Oh, hold up, real quick, before you. Try not to let me forget that I want to ask you about Texas barbecue.
Okay, you can ask me about Texas barbecue.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you can ask me about Texas barbecue after we talk about Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
So, a barbecue cook-off, like the big ones that you see on TV, they got the guys with the trailers, with the,
oh, really?
You know, the big smokers, and all the crazy stuff going on. There was one of those. And I've never been to one like that before. I'd seen them on TV, and I thought, wow, that'd be interesting. Go over there, drink some beers, and they had some live bands playing, which was cool. We got to check out some local music, you know, that we hadn't heard before, and found a couple cool bands. But this barbecue thing was crazy. It was in conjunction with a benefit for like a dog shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, animal shelter kind of thing. They were
rescue or whatever.
It was a rescue. There was a motorcycle ride in conjunction. Like it ended at this event, and then they had like a bunch of raffles and things like that going on. You know, all to basically benefit. The rescue association or whatever it was. And anyway, these guys with these barbecue pits. Holy crap, man! So we had some friends through a coworker of my wife who was there, and they were competing, and they showed up and they thought it was just going to be some little local thing. So this guy does a pretty decent barbecue, but he's out there with two, you know, Weber charcoal grills.
Yeah.
You know, sure. And he's out there
patio size.
He was out there for 24 hours, You know, because they do a chicken and they do ribs and they do a brisket and they have to turn them in to the judges at a certain time and whatever, you know, with their little presentations, just like on TV. And he gets there with his little setup and all these guys are rolling in with these crazy trailers with these big old smokers and barbecues and stuff on them. Well, what he didn't know was that he saw that this was the first annual, you know, barbecue cook-off at this brewery. And he thought, well, it's just a little local deal. It turns out this was like a barbecue cook-off sanctioned event.
Oh, shit.
And whoever wins one, like, whoever wins this, like, gets a place in, like, some national competition or something.
How funny.
So basically that means that, like, all these big-name, big-money guys show up.
Bubba so from he's Louisiana there with his two little, whatever.
Yeah, he's there with his two little Weber smokers. And these guys, this dude showed up in, like, a $65,000 trailer. It's got smokers and barbecues and sinks and a big screen, like a 60-inch TV and a stereo system and all kinds of craziness.
She's got
like,
barbecue.
What the hell, man? What is going on?
It's all down to a science and he's wearing a lab coat.
It's crazy. Like, and they all know each other and they all know like what kind of sauce that guy's using and what this guy's doing. And they all know each other's tricks.
Oh, shit.
It was pretty interesting. But what's really cool about it is that, you know, you go to these things and you figure, you know, you got to pay a little money to get in the door, basically, right? And that money goes to, like, the charity event that was going on.
Right.
And then you figure, like, these guys are smoking, you know, briskets for days and ribs and chicken. You know, they got a bunch of money out on the line for this food. So you figure you're going to walk up to one of them and you're going to have to pay to eat their food. Hell no. You walk around to every single trailer and truck there and be like, hey, what you guys got? And they'll load you up a plate full of barbecue.
Just here you
go. Try to pawn off baked potatoes on you and rolls and ribs and brisket and chicken and whatever you can eat. And you eat it and it's awesome. And then you just walk away. You know, you leave them a tip to help them out with whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next one and you do the same thing and everybody's just handing out food all day long. It was insane.
Now that's your first time doing one of these things.
Yeah, it was my first time, you know, attending one. So
yeah.
I was there actually with a coworker of mine, my buddy named Yuma, and he looked at me and he's like, dude, we got to do this next year. So it looks like next year.
How'd your wife's friend fare?
You know, I don't. They didn't place, but I mean, their food was good. But you know, they're going up against guys that do this like every
professional.
Weekend.
Professional.
You know, he's done a couple of little. He's done a couple little local things in the past. That was basically what he expected this to be, and he's done pretty good. And like I said, his barbecue was pretty good, but you know, it wasn't the $65,000 trailer kind of thing.
No, right. I got a buddy. He's from Texas, Terry. And he's originally from, like I said, Texas. And the first time I met him, we were camping up at Big Bear. And everybody's all, yeah, well, Terry's doing the cooking. I'm like, who's this Terry guy? You know?
What's this
and
about?
he had this horse trailer, you know, this fucking big old horse trailer. And out of it, he would pull a big old fucking smoker, a big old fucking... Like, I don't even know the difference between a smoker and a barbecue, like myself. You know what I mean?
Right,
I just, I'm used to like carne asada, couple of hamburgers, you know what I mean? Couple of burgers on the fucking patty, whatever. But this guy pulls out all kinds of shit and he's cooking, you know, like you just said, like just mounds of ribs, you know, and just, you know,
it's good stuff.
I'm like, holy shit, man. He's like, that's how we do it in Texas, man. I go, fuck, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, and there's different techniques and different styles depending on where you're from. And
yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. It's a lot of fun. So, you know, and everybody was really cool. So I think next year we're going to try to do it. We'll be the crazy ones out there with the, you know, that don't have a big nutty trailer. But I just couldn't believe some of the stuff that some of these guys had, just some crazy setups. You know, and then some of them, they got like their sponsors and stuff written on the side of the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, yo, sponsors, the DuPont barbecue?
Or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, wow, that's crazy.
Pfizer.
That's a whole other world that I just am not aware of.
And you know, and talking about like those kinds of things, one of the things that I like, a lot of us, I believe, are just. So anyway, yeah, like a lot of us are, you know, I won't say ignorant, but ignorant to like how deep a lot of shit is, you know. One day,
right? Yeah,
yeah. You know, I was at a, I won't say a doctor's office or a dentist's office or whatever, and you know, they got magazines and whatnot, and I look over and I pick one up and it's gold panning, you know, and it's like,
right.
What the fuck? They got a magazine?
Yeah, it's a,
you know what I mean?
It's a thing, right? Yeah, it's a thing so much that there's a magazine for it.
Exactly, you know? And it's the same thing with, like,
what metal. Is there to talk about?
Yeah. Yeah, you
know, get a pan. Like, put some dirt in a pan, filter it out. There's either gold in there or there isn't. What else do you talk about? Exactly,
yeah. And, like, metal detecting, you know, that's a, I guess, a big thing, too. It's just trippy.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I guess we're so populated, we're populated enough to where people just gravitate to all these different things, and it becomes a big deal, dude. In totally different worlds, man. You know, you take the bike world, you know, tattoo world, whatever. I guess stuff, you know.
I mean, I can see that kind of with everything, like,
right.
You know, when I first moved out here, so what, like 3 years ago. For whatever reason, I decided I needed another hobby real quick. You know, moved out here. I was like, well, let's find something new to do. I ended up getting into RC car racing.
Oh.
You know, which is something I hadn't done since I was, you know,
15.
You know, yeah, since I was like 15 years old. And next thing I know, I'm like competitive RC racing. You know, racing like every Friday night, and I'm rebuilding my car every week, and I'm testing on Sundays, and you know, I was taking it serious. I was racing a couple times a week.
And you know what's okay? Like, let's take that for instance. Okay, RC, right? You've got your street cars, you've got your off road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know,
Street guys don't like the off road guys. Eight scale guys.
Yeah,
and they don't like each other. Sure. And like, there's all little subgroups within that group. And
crazy.
You know, that's a whole world that I quit doing it, and like that's a whole world that I don't even know that exists. But if I just tried to look for it, I could find it, and it would be a whole nother world like overnight.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking about rabbit holes. That's, you know, those are rabbit holes right there.
Yeah. It's crazy. You just get sucked right into it, and all of a sudden you know all these people and there's all these events and everything going on.
It's great. I went to Holy Gym, you know, Holy Gym Trail out here in Orange County.
Yeah, I've been.
And and there's a little fucking airport for remote control planes that they've.
It's been out there for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when I first saw it, I was all like, "Huh, what a trip! Look at that!" You know?
That's another little underground.
Yeah, you know, and the same thing with like off-roading. You know what I mean, or whatever. Jeep versus Toyota.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, it just boggles the mind. All this.
Yeah, everybody is just kind of natural to sort of like subgroup. You know, I mean, you obviously want to be surrounded by people with like interests, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then there's like subgroups within those groups, too. It gets kind of crazy. But, you know, in the barbecue thing, you know, it didn't seem to be that way. I mean, it seemed like everybody was friendly enough to, you know, the guy with the $65,000 trailer was friendly enough to the guy who was cooking on his backyard barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, as much as anything else. And everybody was really cool, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, little cliques and subgroups
right.
But everybody seemed to get along pretty well, and they were all really friendly, so.
You know, well, again, if you start delving into that, you'll probably find, like you said,
clicks. I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of drama to go around.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And it's funny, man. Speaking of that, you know, the whole, like I talked about last week, friend, you know, wanting, you know, just clicks amongst friends and whatnot. It's just like, I just want a barbecue. You know what I mean? Or I just want to race.
Yeah.
I just want to race RC cars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Man, that was terrible, too. You want to talk about a bunch of, like, high school gossip. Like, you know, 35 to 40 year old guys that are all just talking shit about each other. You know, that guy's sponsored. And,
yeah.
You know, he's just got this and he's got that and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh my God. You guys are terrible.
He's a cheater.
He beat yeah, exactly. He's got team support.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What the hell?
He got all that mega money from, you know, Hobby City down the street or whatever. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's what's even crazier about that stuff is that there's guys that make money barbecuing.
Oh yeah,
you know, and barbecuing at these competitions, not like opening a restaurant kind of thing, but going to these competitions, they make money to live and afford these big extravagant trailers.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with the RC stuff. Some of those guys race RC cars for
yes, I know it's
for
crazy.
A career, like for life, and they make pretty good money.
Yeah, it's like on I just say, it, but like Eastbound and Down, right? You see that show? Eastbound
not since like the first season.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, he lands in some soft, some lower league softball.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's competition. Hey, motherfucker, this and that. You know, fuck.
These guys are hardcore.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. So, how did barbecue turn out good? I think it was good. I think, was that where you posted that live band?
I did. I posted a video yesterday of a band called the Lime Traders. They were pretty good. And me and my buddy Yuma are both pretty well into music, and you know, we both really enjoyed them. They were a good band. They were nice and tight and just kind of simple, little southerny kind of rock and roll, little country influence, little rock and roll influence.
Texas, right?
Yeah, Texas. No, they were good. They were good. Yeah. I liked them.
Yeah, good. Here's what I wanted to ask you.
So, yeah, what do you got?
You were, you know, born and, I don't know, raised out here in California, barbecued out here.
I was actually born in Texas.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, whatever. You're raised.
I was born in Texas, only lived here for like 3 weeks, and then I was back in California.
That doesn't even count. Your mother probably
visited.
Yeah,
technically, I was into the oxygen in Texas.
Technically.
The first air I breathed.
Was Texas air.
The first air I breathed was Texas air.
That makes me Texan.
I guess, somehow.
So, here's what I wanted to ask you. Texas barbecue out here, right? Like commercial, I want to say like Lucille's or whatever, you know?
Right.
How's that compared to like Righteous Texas barbecue?
So my take on Texas barbecue, and I, you know, the same thing, is basically growing up in California. Mm. You, and no matter where, whoever you talk to, you hear Kansas City barbecue and Texas barbecue,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Texas barbecue, you know, is one of the best. To be completely honest with you, either I'm not looking in the right places, or I just ain't finding that shit, because I haven't really found any barbecue out here that blows me away as far as walking into a restaurant, you know, be it a little mom and pop place, mm-hmm. or a chain place or anything that is really like phenomenal. Like, man, I got to go have that barbecue again. I haven't found that yet.
Oh, okay.
Now at this competition yesterday, there might be some stuff that'll put that down.
Oh, okay.
You know, the competition level stuff that I saw yesterday is definitely a step above, you know,
basic.
what any of those restaurants are doing. And, you know, and I talk to people that have lived in Texas their whole life. It's like, where's the good barbecue? Oh, yeah, go over and try this place or go over and try that place. And we do. And it's like, you know, we're not like super impressed. I think I can make that level of barbecue myself in my house.
Huh.
To what I'm getting. So, There is an elevated element somewhere. A lot of these guys that are from Texas, you know, that are doing this thing.
Maybe it's the whole FDA, the food, you know, like, because, you know, like a lot of these places got to have, like, if me and you are, okay, put it this way. When my dad killed a goat in our backyard, or, you know, or whatever, it's meat from right there, and you know, it's right. Not where it's not being inspected by some whatever, you know,
right,
You know what I mean? And it's just all right. You know, I mean, the knives aren't whatever the whole. You know, it's at home. You know what I mean? And it's right. Not sanitary. Whatever. I don't want to say sanitary. It's not sanitary. It's more, you know, it's not.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to say. Yeah. It's not regulated. It's right, you know, right, you're a little right. Freer with, you know, I don't know. I mean, with what barbecue is, I can't see that there's anything necessarily that happens in that process that would have a big influence over, you know, what I'm looking for in better barbecue. And I don't think that these guys that are out here doing these competitions are doing something that a restaurant isn't allowed to do.
No, so that's what I'm
saying. I think it's just I think it's more a matter of time. Time and technique, you know, to get a good and you know, I have still heard that there are some really good places like in Austin that we haven't been to try the barbecue yet, you know, versus what you're going to find here kind of in the Houston area. So maybe it's still here. Maybe that good Texas barbecue is still here. I just haven't maybe made enough effort to go find it. But if any of these little shack and shed places are making barbecue like these guys at this competition yesterday, then I think we're going to find it. So it's probably out there.
Oh, good.
Okay. My experience to this point is not, you know, I'm not going to stand up and scream Texas barbecue because I haven't found anything worth screaming about yet.
Right. It's odd because, and I'm sure like different, okay, like when I lived in New Mexico, I went to have dinner at this friend of mine's place, and his wife was making enchiladas, right? And their family was from a different part of Mexico than my family was, and they lived in New Mexico, and you know, raised different than Californian Mexicans or whatever.
Right.
And she even asked me, she's like, "Hey, is it true that in California they roll their enchiladas?" You know, and I was all like, yeah, because that's all I ever had, right?
Was, right, yeah.
You know, but because her family's from a different part of Mexico, and, they, you know, they stack them like pancakes. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, yeah. I've seen them that way too.
So it's just, I guess, you know, and I'm sure in Texas they got, you know, different types of barbecue. And,
well, in Texas you've got Tex-Mex.
Oh yeah.
Which is different than what you get in California, because California is like Baja Mexico food, which is more coastal flavors.
Yes,
You know, and then you come here and it's Tex-Mex. It's inland flavors kind of that Texas Mexican, you know, combination. So you know, if you go to Mexico, you know, Baja Mexico, you know, below California, you get tacos. You know, and it's a corn tortilla with, you know, with some sort of meat in it, and then probably cilantro and maybe some onions. Queso.
Yeah.
You know, queso fresco or something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get shredded cheddar cheese. You don't get sour cream. No. You don't get any of that stuff unless you ask for it.
Right.
But that's not how they come. Well, here it's the other way around. You get all kinds of shit thrown in there. You know, you get peppers and whatever else. So it's different. Yeah. I actually. I mean, I don't mind Mexican food like in California, but I like Tex-Mex. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
We went to a little Tex-Mex place tonight for dinner.
Oh, nice.
So it's good stuff. So that's what I got. What do you got going on?
You know what? I had I went to a funeral a couple weeks back, and my a friend of mine's father. And he was, I might have talked about this, I'm not sure, but, you know, he's an older cat, well-respected, and I don't know why, but it dawned on me that, like, everybody's wearing sunglasses, you know, and...
Was it inside or outside?
Well, both, you know, and, you know, when we go inside, you know, as essays, we put them on, well, I mean, sure, everybody does, you know.
You put them on your forehead.
You know what I mean? And the women put it in their hair, you know what I mean? You know, up above their head, you know what I mean? But I thought to myself, when did it become, I mean, granted, I was wearing some too, you know, but it was just like, it just, at that moment, it just seemed like, for me, like really odd to be wearing like sunglasses at a funeral. You know, I mean, most of the time we wear sunglasses to a lot of times to look cool, obviously to protect ourselves from the sun, you know, and but you know, to look cool or to, you know, put off a certain persona again, you know what I mean, about, you know, with glasses and whatnot. And
I don't know if it's a persona about the glasses. I mean, I would think that it would be just so, you know, so the other guys don't see you tear up.
Well, that might be it too. That might be it too, man. But it was just like, or at a wedding, you know what I mean? I mean, and granted, I've done it myself too, and I probably would do it at the next wedding. But it just seemed to me like this is odd, you know? I mean, we're at my friend's, his friend's dad's viewing, and I looked around and go, man, everybody just thinks they're cool with their sunglasses, man. And you know, we're here to bid a good man farewell. You know what I mean? And it was just, to me, it just seemed kind of odd. Which is not to say, again, like I was wearing sunglasses, of course, but it just seemed kind of like out of place, man. Like I always picture funerals, I don't know, you know, dreary and whatnot, or even weddings, a joyful time. You know what I mean? But everybody's focused on, you know, the bride and the groom and you know, and everybody, it's, you know, it just, for me, right. The sunglass thing just kind of, I don't know.
I've worn sunglasses to a funeral, and I think it's usually just so nobody sees me cry. Oh. You know? Yeah. Can't have anybody see that.
Well, you know, yeah, that's true, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. I just, for some reason, that's just been, like, I'll see somebody wearing sunglasses and I'll think, will he wear those sunglasses to his mom's funeral? You know what I mean?
So when you were at the funeral, mm-hmm. and you looked around and realized that everybody else had sunglasses on, mm-hmm. did you take yours off?
No, of course not, man.
You know, of course not. Yeah, right.
You know, but it just, I don't know.
You said, where is it right that everybody has these on and then you don't even take yours off?
Yeah. I don't want to be the odd one out.
You're going to be the odd man out. Maybe you start something, right? Yeah. But he's like, oh, yeah, he's right. I shouldn't be wearing these right now.
And I think it's because I think I caught an old Western and they're all standing next to the gravesite as Eddie's being lowered into, you know, the gun shooter is being lowered into the grave. And, you know, there's no sunglasses back then. But it just seemed more, like, respectable, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
but yeah, you know, a little more appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, more, you know, and they're all out there with their hats in their hands, you know what I mean, watching this guy get lowered. And I go, man, that's a cool funeral, man. And then I go to this other funeral and everybody's just, like, spiffied up and, you know, like out there, you know, like, it's like what, like that Wedding Crashers, you know what I mean? But people go out there and it's weird because... Yeah. You know, I'm sure some people hook up after funerals, you know what I mean? And they haven't seen it. You know what I mean?
Which is kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I guess it's expected, you know, at a wedding for people to hook up or whatever. But.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I don't know. That's not something, I guess I never really.
I don't know. You know what? And I don't even know why I'm tripping on this. It's just something I just thought. I was like, man, this is crazy. This is trippy, man. This is just... And granted, again, like I said, the next funeral I go to, I'll be wearing sunglasses. Next wedding I go to, I'll be wearing sunglasses, man. Just how it happened, you know? Which, you know, I don't know. Would you want the priest, you know what I mean, to come in wearing sunglasses, man? You know, going to read the last rite or whatever. The last...
Yeah,
you know,
the
eulogy to your, you know, to your mom's... man, it sure is bright out here. I'm going to put on some Mad Doggers. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea why I'm tripping on that, man. But I just am. I don't know. Huh. So, hey, I got a question for you, man.
What do you got?
I think we talked about it earlier. And maybe this may not be the right time to bring it up or whatever. But how is this little... podcast turning out, man? Or you want to talk about that or not?
What was that?
This whole little podcast of ours, how are we doing on that, man?
How are we doing on it? Well, I don't know. How are we doing on it? I think we're doing pretty decent for only having five episodes out there in the world. So for those of you who are listening, thank you. I think up to this point we've had, well, we released our first three episodes like all together. So this we've done two episodes after that, so basically four releases. And up to this point, we've got somewhere around like 200 downloads and, few people following us. So, you know, thank you guys who are out there doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, if you like what we got going on, spread the word and, let people know. Jump over to our website, over to unrestrictedpodcast.com. And, when you're looking through the show notes, leave a comment down below and let us know what you think. We do a lot of these conversations, and we don't go, we try to keep things kind of short and quick and interesting, and we don't go into too much crazy detail on most of it. So, the idea, I think, is to maybe continue these conversations, online and with the audience that's listening, and kind of get your guys' input, and, maybe we can keep going on that kind of stuff. So you can also get us on the Facebook page is a really good place to do that. Unrestricted Podcast, on Facebook. We got a few followers going on over there. And, like I said, if you like what you see, hit us up there. And we can get some conversations going on there chat back and forth a bit.
Would it be too much? Again, this is for everybody out there listening. Like, this is our... It's a little podcast, and so I'm going to ask Chris: would it be too far to or too much to ask, like, for, I don't know, like topics? You know what I mean? I mean, should we?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, if you guys got something you want to hear us talk about, throw it out there. Let us know, and we'll see if it's something we're interested in.
Yeah,
If it's not something that we're interested in chatting about, then I can't guarantee it.
Right.
If you've listened this far, then you've listened to a few of our podcasts, and you kind of get, sort of where we look at things. And if you got a topic that you want us to chat about, then for sure, throw that out there and just say, hey, check this out, and maybe it'll pop up. And we're definitely open for any kind of input that you guys have. So
crocheting doilies and whatnot is probably not.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see, if you want me to learn how to crochet and then throw a picture of whatever the nonsense is that I make online, I'll do it.
I think we talked about this before as well. But you're a woodworker, right? That's another thing you picked up while out in Texas, right? Did you pick up some?
I do a little bit of woodworking, mostly out of necessity, just because I can't afford the furniture I want. Either can't afford it or can't find what I want, so I try to make it myself. So I've done a few projects and kind of tried to add some tools to my shop to make that a little bit easier. But I haven't had a lot going on recently, but I've made a few things around the house, like a dining room table and some shelving and a couple little knickknacks and some gifts and stuff we've given people. So I like playing around with that. It's kind of fun. It's difficult sometimes out here in Texas. The little shop that I have is not climate controlled. So, during the summer when it's 108 degrees out and 90% humidity, it's a little tough to be out in a metal building trying to do woodwork. and then sometimes in the winter it gets a bit chilly out there and it's a little tougher to be out there, but I try to get stuff done when I can, when I'm not working in the garden or taking care of the birds or something. I'll tinker around out there.
Hey, and so I guess our one of our top, I don't know what topics, or one of our things is, freedom and liberty. And I'm sure everybody has a different take on freedom and whatnot. But how free are we? Like, how free? What is liberty? You know what I mean? Like, how do you define liberty?
So, I mean, the definition of liberty to me is the ability to do what you want to do without being told you can't do it by somebody else, as long as what you're trying to do doesn't have an ill effect on someone else. Right? That makes sense?
Right.
So, if I want to stand at my front door and shoot a rifle into your front door, right, I shouldn't be allowed to do that. right? Because that affects you. Now, if I have 30 acres behind my back door and there's nobody back there, and I have a backstop built up so that I'm shooting into a berm and the bullets aren't going anywhere but other than where I know that they're going, shouldn't I be able to go out there and shoot at targets into that berm in my backyard? Because it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect anybody else around me. I should be able to do it. That would be my definition of liberty. If you want to ride a motorcycle down the highway, you are on the motorcycle. You are the only one on the motorcycle. Should you be told you have to wear a helmet? Who gets hurt if you crash a motorcycle and hit your head on the ground?
Right.
You know, you do. So that's your choice to make that decision. To me, that's liberty. That's freedom to be able to make that choice. And you, the only person going to be affected by that decision is you. Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And there's that whole let those that ride decide, I guess, pretty much, right?
Right.
You know, yeah, you know.
If you gave me the decision, I would probably choose to wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I've known enough people that have been in accidents, even with helmets on, and gotten injured. I would make that choice for myself that I think I need a helmet just in case. But if you don't want to wear a helmet, it's not up to me to tell you that you have to. It shouldn't be up to anybody, a government or a neighbor or anybody, to tell you that you have to wear a helmet. It should be up to you to make the decision. That to me is freedom and liberty and your abilities to make decisions and make choices based on what you want to do that affect you.
Whole seatbelt law thing too, right?
That seatbelt law thing too, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we probably wear a seatbelt out of obviously common sense.
Well, yeah, if they're available and mm-hmm. it's a safety concern, you know, mm-hmm. I definitely think I would.
Right.
So, but it should be a choice, not a requirement.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because the only person affected by me not wearing a seatbelt is me. So that's where I go on that. I mean, we can go
round and round over
a whole lot. Well, we can. I mean, if you want, we can go a whole lot deeper. If you decide you want to go next episode, we can go a whole hour on my thoughts on freedoms and liberties
and how,
you know, and it comes down to the argument again is like, okay, yeah, well, we don't necessarily have the freedoms and the liberties on some of that stuff, but you know, are we still a free and liberated country? Maybe one of the freer, but I don't think that we're as free as we once were, or as free as we could be.
Of course not, you know. Let's go back to your whole shooting thing in your backyard. You might have a neighbor who feels that infringes on his or her, sleep pattern or. You know, the noise you know what I mean?
And does it? And that's the question.
Yeah.
And if it does, then maybe that is something that I've made a choice of that affects someone else.
Right.
And if it is, then we need to come up with a way to resolve that. And I don't think that the government is the way to resolve that.
No, of course not, man. Yeah.
You know, but that's what it comes down to. And it kind of comes down to, again, what we discussed in our last episode with the whole Delta situation is, you know, is people not communicating their concerns appropriately and just, you know, screaming and yelling and then expecting somebody else to do something about it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it kind of comes down to that same thing. Yeah. So.
One of the things is that since that whole Delta thing we talked about, I never even considered like your perspective. You know, that's right. I just thought, when it first happened, my thought was like, that guy probably deserved it. Cause I didn't know the whole story. You know what I mean? I just know he got fucked. He just got fucked up. And then to find out that whatever they call the cops, and I guess the cops did it or whatnot. And then, you know, so I was like, oh wow, they fucked up big time. You know, then I hear
you know, your perspective, and then I put it, you know what? That is like you calling the cops because somebody is breaking into your house and the cops shooting him, and then you catching the beef behind it. You know exactly what I mean? Yeah. So I right was like, holy yes crap, man. That's a total...
Well, I mean, except that in this situation, like, that guy wasn't really doing anything...
No, yeah.
...wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You right know, he wasn't right breaking a
right
law.
Right. But neither was Delta, apparently, right, according right to the contract.
Yeah, I mean,
buy a ticket,
like I said, I believe Delta's bad business in what they allowed to happen,
mm-hmm,
you know, but is Delta at fault for what physically happened to that guy? And I don't
no
feel like he is.
No.
So, you know, I don't want to go on, you know, the very
that
next episode and just yeah rehashing the same stuff we've kind
yeah
of
yeah yeah,
about,
yeah,
but,
yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's and this was supposed to be our positives episode.
Oh yeah.
So that kind of went away. So I think we can flip this positive real quick.
Yeah,
let's get
yeah
into some music.
Okay, good. That's good.
Music
yeah
is always a positive thing. So
always
let's
positive
head that direction.
I got let me go first real quick. I got
yeah. Go ahead. What do you got going on?
I went yesterday to go watch this David Bowie tribute. It's called Space Odyssey. It's a group, I guess, you know, and they were pretty good, man. They were actually pretty. The guy was, he looked like David Bowie, of course, and whatnot. And, you know, his singing could have, you know, he wasn't David Bowie, but, you know.
Right.
So I got on, you know, this whole trip of little David Bowie since last night, man. And it's been, you know, and like I had no, I was born in 70, you know, I heard of David Bowie, you know, in the 80s. You know, and
yeah
then I think in the mid 80s or early 90s, I think it was when China Girl came out or Let's Dance, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, then, you know, listening to classic rock and whatnot, you hear, you know, I got down on David Bowie's the Gene Genie. You know, that song came out, I want to say, like in 76 or in 70.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean, he was doing stuff for a long time. And
yeah,
if you listen to his earlier stuff
yeah
and then compare it to probably his 80s stuff when he became a little more mainstream popular, it's pretty different.
Yeah.
You know, along
yeah
the years, like
yeah
the stuff he did was...
And you know, and not to compare him with Madonna because I can't stand her, but one thing I will say about her is that, like, she sets musical trends. You know what I mean? In the like, you know,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And her...
Well, at the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In her day.
Yeah,
she's
yeah
not doing a lot of that anymore.
Right, right. But and the way music would curve to her, you know what I mean? From her, like a virgin crap
right
to...
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Bowie, man. All his early stuff, man, would send, you know, would just kick off a whole different... not say different genre, of course, but a whole
yeah just
it
a different
would
set sound
off a yeah, and it would just set off people, different groups that would, you know, that would actually, you know, try to sound like, you know, that type and you know. So anyway, so yeah, it's for like I got David Bowie's the Gene Genie down for this week, man. And if you're not hip to David Bowie, man, you should, you know, really look into him, and because there's a lot of people out there who, I mean, the guy just died last year, the year before, and you know, but you know, David Bowie, man, awesome, you know, awesome music guy.
Yeah, I like some of his stuff. I mean, there's some stuff that isn't really my style.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, you give
right
him credit for like you said, kind of being an innovator in some of that sound and just doing it really well and bringing some good theatrics and stuff to
yes
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few
yeah
songs that I really like. A few friends of mine. I used to kind of fiddle around with like playing guitar and stuff every once in a while, and I was never really any good at it, never really stuck with it long enough to become any good at it. But I picked up bass and I started playing bass a couple years ago, just fiddling around. And I had a buddy that played acoustic guitar and another buddy that played guitar and mandolin. So we used to all three of us get together on Friday, every Friday
jam
night,
yeah,
over
jam
at my place, and we would just jam some stuff, right? You know, a kind of acoustic And Space Oddity was one of the songs that we would almost play like every Friday.
Yeah.
We would just kind of jam that through, and it was a lot of fun to play. So, I like some David Bowie stuff.
Okay, and speaking of like Not Your Deal or whatever, you know, like I got my second song. It's like I'm not very big into rap. I like some rap because of, I guess probably because of the way I grew up and the anger and stuff that it would push out. But anyway, but before all that, there was a group, you know, Run DMC, and and I got the song I got is like that, and that song is back in those days. Rap wasn't about, it wasn't gangster rap. It wasn't
right. You know, it was a message.
Yeah, it was exactly a message. It carried a message and talked about, you know, how things are. You know what I mean? And what you should be doing. You know what I mean? To further your life. And it wasn't about pimping hoes, you know what I mean, and slapping bitches.
And NWA made that shit cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And, you know, but
everybody likes Run DMC, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has like at least one Run DMC song that they like.
Yeah, exactly.
Even right. If it's Walk This Way.
Yeah, exactly. And I was watching this whole Netflix thing on the history of hip hop, and you know how much of a turning point. And how much of a turning point Run DMC was when they did that Walk This Way with Aerosmith and how it
played. Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And nobody had dared do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, you know, because it was actually blending in two totally, you know what I mean? Right. Two
opposite spectrums, yeah.
Yeah, that's like Snoop Dogg or whatever now, which I can't stand. But like him doing a song with a country song, you know what I mean? Right. You know,
yeah.
You know. So for my second song, I got Run DMC is just like that. Third, I got Plush by Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's just because I started thinking about Scott Weiland and like what a. I don't want to say a waste of a talent, when he passed, but it was just because I, you know, with Velvet Revolver and STP.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not a waste. It's unfortunate
because
seemed like he kind of had really put things together and was heading in the right direction.
STP. STP at the front of the. Oh, and I don't know if it's grunge. You know what I mean? But,
I think because they came out of Seattle, they sort of got put into that category. But I think they were a little more on the rock and roll end than they were really in the grunge
side of it.
Yeah.
Plush, amazing song. So if you get a chance, you know, plug that in and check it out. And I don't know if I can go with this one. Oh, yeah, Prince. Again, another weird man. Three of these guys are dead. What a trip!
Did you do that on purpose?
No.
Well, there you go. You know?
Well, the last guy I thought was my last song, but anyways, I thought, well, this guy's dead too.
You know? Well, I mean, no, and Run DMC, right? What's his name?
Oh yeah, God damn it! The DJ, man. And he died in some crazy, mysterious... Well, I don't want to say mysterious way, but he was gunned down. that is... I don't know. It's just trippy. You know, looking at that, man. That's just trippy.
So you got Prince.
I got When Doves Cry. And the only reason I even picked that one out is probably... You know, it's one of his... I won't say one of his more popular songs, but one of his more popular newer songs. Because, 1999 was popular... You know, back in
Mid- 1999, Little Red Corvette.
Purple
album. Rain.
Yeah,
and this one's off. Cry. I mean, there's handfuls of them.
Yeah. And this guy was an amazing artist himself, man. That guy could play
an amazing guitarist.
Yeah, dude, he could play.
And just all around musician. Like, he could sing.
Dude,
and he play,
could,
you know.
They
and,
said he
and
could
a
play.
A lot of people kind of underestimated him, I think, just because of the sound of some of his stuff, as to how complicated it was. But that shit was really good.
Because he wasn't...
He wasn't showy. I mean, he was showy, as a stage presence, but his music wasn't like, look at me play guitar. It was, listen to this song.
Yeah, you know. He wasn't, okay, I don't want to... He wasn't Michael Jackson hip-hop. You know what I mean? Which is directly, pop. You know what I mean? He wasn't at that, you know, he had, like, you know, you rarely hear any other pop music artists play guitar like that Prince does, man. You know what I mean? And all the influences that he had. Like, did you know he wrote?
He wrote a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote for Stevie Nicks. I want to say, I don't know. One song. Anyway, he wrote a couple songs for her. He wrote a lot, you know. And, When Doves Cry, Prince. And I have no idea why that one stands out to me, man. But Prince is a badass entertainer. You know, I don't know about his acting skills. I don't know. You know, but... definitely his musical talent, man. I guess they said he could play up to 75 instruments, whatnot, you know. Another tragedy, you know what I mean? Gone to fucking fentanyl or whatever the hell it is, man. He went on, And the last
Real quick, any of you guys that are out there that are listening to this right now that are screaming at your radio that you know the songs that Prince wrote for Stevie Nicks. Leave them in the comments and let us know what they are.
Yeah,
that way we don't have to look them up.
Yeah, and that way I don't feel like a dumbass fucking trying to think of it. You know what I mean? You know.
What else you got?
The last one is again the only reason I even picked him. It was because Keith Moon. I heard some people raving about because don't get me wrong, John Bonham, badass drummer. But somewhere along the line, somewhere I saw that they had Lars from Metallica as like the best drummer around or whatever, man.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. Lars from Metallica is not even close to the best drummer that's ever. That
no, I know. Yeah, I know.
Like Metallica.
Yeah.
At certain times, we haven't gotten into my Metallica preferences yet, but Lars is by far not the fucking greatest drummer that's ever lived.
I don't even think
you definitely can't compare him to John Bonham.
Keith Moon, incredible drummer, man. He was, he blows, it's wicked. You watch some of his solos, you watch
that
some of his.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And if. The funny part, a lot of it, he was just too fucked up to play at a lot of concerts.
Yeah, man.
Drunk and loaded and shit, Which is like, I don't know, maybe the drummer's thing who are, because they're. They're not front center or whatever. Like John Bonham had a bad thing, and so did that drummer for can't think of it. Anyways,
man, you're having a bad one today.
I know. I'm tired. Had a long weekend, man. But anyways, yeah. So that's what I got. That's what I got, man.
All right.
Sorry.
Cool.
Yeah, I fucked up. Sorry about that, man.
Yeah, no worries. Okay. It's all good. All right, well, let's see what I got here. I've got the first one that I've got here is actually the band that I sort of discovered yesterday at the barbecue event. It's a band called the Lime Traders. Song is Memory Lane. And this is just I just found these guys yesterday, so I'm not super familiar with all of their stuff. But I definitely recommend checking them out. They're pretty good. If you're in the Texas area, go find out where these guys are playing local and check them out. They're just a good, straightforward, real tight, kind of rock, country rock band. It's weird because I did check out their album today, and this song, Memory Lane, is the first song on the album. And there's a guy in the band he plays acoustic guitar and he sings. And then they've got another guitarist who plays electric guitar and a bass player and a drummer. And that's who we saw yesterday at this event. And when you listen to their album, all of the other songs on the album, they have a female singer. So I don't know what the story is with these guys. I don't know if the female singer just couldn't make the show yesterday, or if now she's out of the band since they've made this album, or what the deal is. I will, however, tell you that I prefer the band with the guy who sings than I do with the girl who sings. It gives a different sound to the band. Not that I don't like female singers. I just, this band sounds really good with this guy singing. He's got a good voice. So that's my first one. If you get a chance to check these guys out, show them some support. They're a little local upcoming band. You know, if you're around here and you see that they're playing, I definitely recommend to check them out. The next one that I have is it's a guy named Ben Woods. I recently discovered him, I don't know, a month or two ago. The album is called Flametallica, and the song is called One. So this guy, and most people who are Metallica fans will understand that One is a Metallica song, and Flametallica is a take on Flametallica, or Flemtallica, however you want to say it, is a take on Metallica.
Right.
So this guy Ben Woods is a flamenco guitarist. He plays, you know, Spanish flamenco style, nylon string guitars, and this dude is an animal. I mean, I'm not very well versed in flamenco. I mean, I'm into guitar stuff and I like that style of music. So I don't know. Maybe this guy's a hack. I have no idea. But he did an entire album of nothing but Metallica cover songs arranged for flamenco guitar. And this stuff is just, it's mesmerizing. I love it. It's so relaxing. But then they're familiar songs at the same time.
Yes.
It's really, really good. He's also done a Judas Priest album. And he's got another album with like all like surf style songs,
like the Beach Boys or whatever.
Yeah, like the Beach Boys and you know, Pipeline and kind of all those familiar surf songs. And he also does a cover of on that album. He does a cover of the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly theme song. You know the.
Oh, really? You know,
that whole thing?
Yeah.
He does it. He does a flamenco cover of that. It's so awesome. But check out his Metallica album. So Ben Woods is the guy. He's pretty interesting. Let's see. The next one I have is kind of falls along lines of your whole little Seattle thing that you had going on there. Jerry Cantrell.
Some of you guys may know
Jerry Cantrell is the guitarist for Alice in Chains. Also did some singing for Alice in Chains, backup vocals and parts of songs and stuff like that. And it's interesting, if you listen to his solo album stuff, you'll really realize and figure out how much singing he actually did for Alice in Chains. You know, you hear it in his music. It's like, whoa, is that Alice in Chains? It's not, you know, because Layne Staley is not in his solo album. So you really realize how much of that kind of was and wasn't Layne Staley singing some of that stuff. So anyway, Jerry Cantrell, his first solo album was called Boggy Depot. A song's called Cut You In. I dig it. It's got a kind of an Alice in Chains sound to it, of course, because he's sort of the guitar sound of Alice in Chains. And now listening to his stuff, knowing he's a lot of the voice for Alice in Chains too. This song is interesting because. Actually, that whole album, I have. This is one of those. I think we kind of talked about this before. This is one of those albums that every time I hear it, or I hear a song off of it, it instantly flashes me back to, you know, a certain point, period, and time and place.
Right. Yeah.
And my brother and I used to listen to this album over and over again while playing a game called Top Gear Rally on Nintendo 64. You know, back whenever that was that came out, like the early, you know, mid to late 90s or something. And we used to just play that game for hours and listen to this album over and over and over again. So every time I hear something off of that, I'm playing Top Gear Rally on Nintendo 64 all over again. It's kind of funny. So let's see here. The next one that I have is this band. Man, I love these guys. Called Metalachi.
Metalachi.
You ever heard of them? You ever heard of Metalachi?
Yeah.
Of course, right? Yeah. God, you see him at the swap meet?
Yes.
At Santa Fe Springs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Metalachi for those of you who don't know, it's like a, I guess, kind of a mariachi band, kind of a metal band. You know, these guys basically take like mariachi style and mariachi instruments, and then they play metal songs.
Hence,
and they rearrange them. Hey, hence Metalachi. So they did "Living on a Prayer," you know, the Bon Jovi song, which is absolutely horrible. But the Metalachi version of it is just on point. It is so amazing. So they got a whole album, you know, an album. They got several albums, but this album's called Uno. I'm expecting it's their first album. I'm not sure, but being called Uno, I'm thinking it's number one. But anyway, yeah, Metalachi, "Living on a Prayer." You know, when next time you're having a party or something, just throw this on and watch people freak out. It's hilarious.
Oh God.
So, all right. So on to my last song. Let's see. Anthrax. I don't know if everybody knows who Anthrax is. They were, they are one of the top five, basically, thrash metal bands, kind of all time. They've got Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, Megadeth. Well, that's top four. I forget who the fifth one is, but, it's like Exodus or something like that. Anyway. Anthrax, one of the all-time great thrash bands. You know, they've gone through some changes over the years and different singers kind of coming and going, but this is a song called "Belly of the Beast." It's off an album called "Persistence of Time." It was released in 1990. It's crazy because I went back and I listened to this. I actually was listening to this album on Friday on my way home from work, and I've heard this is one of my favorite Anthrax albums. You know, it's by, you know, some of the older, like, hardcore fans probably thought that this album was maybe a little softer than some of their early stuff. But I really, really liked this album when it came out. And going back and listening to it, it's really interesting that this song, "Belly of the Beast," is basically kind of about corruption in government and the government doing, you know, not the right thing. And it's funny. You know, I started to think, I said, well, is it that they wrote a song that's timeless, or is it that nothing's really changed? You know, they're just talking about how the government's starting wars for no reason, and, you know, they're just doing all this crazy stuff, and there's all these corruption and all this and all that going on, and it's like, they were singing about that stuff in 1990, but if that song came out today, it would be relevant.
It would fit right in, yeah.
It would fit perfectly relevant to what's happening. So, you know, like I said, I started to think about it, and you know, and I almost put my whole list together of songs of, I guess you could call them like anti-government songs, you know, but American-based anti-government songs or songs about the wrongdoings of the government, you know, kind of through history to see if they all fit in today, you know, and I didn't quite get that far, and obviously my list isn't that, but I did kind of start thinking about that, and I think it is. So really what's happening is nothing's changed. It's been fucked up. It's still fucked up. And it's just getting more fucked up, but it's like the same kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's getting more fucked up, you know. But,
yeah, it's like it's just continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it just
and it doesn't seem like either we're not able to stop it, or we've just gotten so used to it that nobody tries to stop it anymore. And that kind of, that sadly falls back to our previous conversation with the whole, you know, Delta situation. It's just it's easier to just live with it and move forward until it affects you somehow. So, yeah, anyway, if you get a chance, check out Anthrax. It's a band that I really enjoy, and they've got... I kind of like their earlier to, like, 90s stuff when there was a guy named Joey Belladonna. Was it Joey? Anyway, yeah, I think that was the singer. And then they've got... they did a few albums with John Bush. I didn't really care for their sound with John Bush. A couple songs I didn't mind, but I don't know. I kind of lost interest in them with him. But the old singer's back in the band, and they've got a new album out. And they're pretty good. But yeah, some of their older stuff, like I said, you know, it's very kind of, you know, I guess anti-government or, you know, anti-situation. And, you know, it very much pertains to today's situation. So It kind of seems like not much has changed. So anyway, that's that's pretty much what I got. And I think that's our show, unless you got something else you want to touch on.
I think we did a... No, I think I'm a little too tired, you know, but whatever.
All right, cool.
You know, hopefully...
No, I think we put together a pretty good show, so...
Yeah, good.
If you're hearing this for the first time, I don't know how you found us, but you did. Congratulations. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the craziness. You know, head on over to our website, if that's not where you're already at right now. You know, and download our show through the website, unrestrictedpodcast.com. You can hit up all of our social media. There's buttons there you can click to get you there. Go down to the bottom of this show and leave us some comments. You know, tell us how many songs Prince wrote or what songs Prince wrote for Stevie Nicks. And, you know, and anything else, if you want to continue some of the conversations that we've had today and you've got something you want to say, go ahead and throw that down there in the comments and we'll keep it going. If you don't want to do it there, head on over to our Facebook page and we can get some stuff going on over there too. Don't forget to like our page and we'll let you know when a new post comes out or a new show. If you head over to iTunes, you can leave us a review. Make sure you click 5 stars, even if you think we suck. And let us know why you think we suck, but you gave us 5 stars anyway.
Yeah.
It's always appreciated. Yeah. You can find us pretty much anywhere else, Stitcher, you know, any podcast catchers. You can get us there and subscribe and let us know. Get some communication going. Let's finish these conversations.
Yeah, invite your friends.
Yeah, and tell everybody you know. If you like the show, then let everybody know. I mean, hell, my mom listens to the show, so I think yours can too. All right. I think that's
cool,
it.
Cool, perfect.
See ya.
Oh, yeah, all right, man. See ya.
Time to pull out your hairy ching-chings. All right, Kukui, hang on to some red horns.
Super.